All right, Dax, another off season is upon us. What's the toughest part about being a journeyman in a new city?
Well, Gordo, you know this as well as I do. Being a journeyman in a new city or a city that you're staying in is always difficult. The uncertainty of the future. Are you going to stay? Are you going to go somewhere else? Back in 2020 with Nashville SC, when we had a brand new team, everyone coming to a new city, there was only one person that we trusted to get our real estate needs done. And that's Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group. She made everything perfect, flawless, seamless. We had absolutely no issues getting into our house here in Nashville, and all my teammates felt the same way. You can check Erin out at majorleague-realestate.com.
Okay, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, all of you fellow Major League journeymen, we are back for another episode and delivering the United States, maybe the world's first blue card to Mr. Dax McCarty, who has now just been removed from the pod for one episode at this moment. We could extend that. It'll be taken to a review, to a panel, a separate independent panel, independent review committee. But we had a big episode planned. And luckily, by the grace of God, we are joined with none other than a friend of the pod, Christopher Wingert. Christopher Wingert joining myself and Mr. Mustachio, Alan Gordon. Wing, thank you for making time for us again and saving Dax's bacon. Much appreciated. You are way more handsome than he is, and you have instantly raised our credibility.
Thanks for having me, guys. As always, you know, I'm begging to be part of the pod in any way I can. So I'll take an invitation whenever I get one.
Wing, where are you reporting live from today? Because as the life of a bachelor, it's a lot more interesting than myself and Gordo's lives. So let's live vicariously through you for 8 minutes here.
Out on the West Coast for a little bit. We had a fun event, Super Bowl week, with the company out in Vegas, which was pretty cool. And then I came out to the West Coast, going to be signing a young player here who's just getting on board as a rookie with LA Galaxy. So that's exciting.
Oh, okay.
Tell us a little bit about that. You know, that's my squad, dude. Tell me a little
hold
bit.
Hold on, Wing. Wing, before you tell us about that, I just remind the viewers, the head of Roc Nation North America football. Is that accurate? Is that an accurate title?
Correct. Yeah.
So continually growing your clientele base. I know you signed some good folks in the winter, but talk to us about the Galacticos.
Yeah. So so young player out of UCLA, who's okay. from the East Coast, but was part of Sporting Kansas City's academy, and grew up playing for SKC. Even did a preseason with them. His name's Tucker Lepley. And being out here and spending some time out here on the West Coast, a good friend of mine, Paul Killian, the assistant coach at UCLA, I've been to a bunch of their games. Uh-huh. And so I've been watching Tucker for the past.
Is Paul the dude that we met in Annapolis, or that I met in Annapolis?
Exactly.
Dude, Gordo, I'm walking around with Chris Wingert and Paul Killian, and I felt like I was the ugly dude in Fast and the Furious 26. Like, Killian's just a beautiful human. And then Wingert's got like the long flowing locks, and these dudes are just walking down the streets in Annapolis. I'm like, what am I even doing here?
That's a tough crowd. That is
yeah,
tough.
It wasn't easy. It was not easy.
I would have been tougher even me.
Not with that mustache, it wouldn't. You'd be on the other side of the street.
hey, Wing. I like that you signed somebody from college. How many kids? I mean, what's the mix? I mean, are college kids still getting love these days? Because I'm interested. I mean, how much time are you spending, you know, signing kids from the academy? I mean, they're sucking up most of the talent, right? They're mopping up most of the talent. And then how many kids are left in college soccer to
It's a great question, Gordo. Honestly, not a ton. And it just doesn't quite make sense for me to be watching, you know, 50, 60 games of college soccer. It's just not going to happen. I don't have the time. But I try to keep it open for a unique circumstance, this being one of them, because, again, of my relationship with Paul, being out here, going to a bunch of UCLA games, I've gotten to see them a lot. And I've watched Tucker, and I just said, man, this kid's a real footballer. Like, would fit into any system where they really value possession of the ball. I actually think he ended up getting drafted by the Galaxy, and actually think that's why it's going to be a good fit, because the Galaxy, even though they had not a great season, they still dominate possession in most of their games. Obviously, that's a big part of things for Vanny, right? And so I thought that would be a perfect fit. He'd be a great fit in a place like New York City FC, some of these places, right? Really are trying to keep the ball. Even a Columbus, a Columbus Crew, teams like that, right? So anyway, but back to your question, I would say, yeah, if the kid goes to, you know, St. John's, or if I just have a chance to see him play and like him, then of course I'm more than happy to reach out. I still have a soft spot for the guys that come through the college system, like the three of us. And there's certainly a place for those guys. There is. It's just, it's not like when we were coming through and the majority of the guys coming into the league were coming through the draft and coming through college, right? Because the majority of the top guys, like you said, are coming through the academy system, signing homegrown contracts, et cetera, or are coming from overseas. And so,
is there a different stigma on these players coming out of college now? I mean, I remember, like, I was, I think, draft number 100,000,012. So there was a zero expectations on me. I don't even think I was supposed to make it through the preseason. But I do remember Hunter Freeman, who was a super draft pick, who was Generation Adidas, also an outside back. And the expectation for him was completely different within the organization, within the team, within the locker room, like all those different things. And college players were a dime a dozen at the time. Now you're saying that this is almost like it's like a different variable that's getting dropped into a locker room, because most of these players are going through the academy system, being brought up as a homegrown, being brought up into maybe it's the next pro environment, whatever it is. But now you're entering them into a first team. From a coaching perspective, I guess when you spoke with Vanny or you spoke with Will, do they look at this kid differently because he's coming from college? Like, does he have a different, maybe it's not a stigma, maybe it's an expectation placed on him because he's gone through kind of the adulting process or the young adulting process that is college soccer and college living?
I do think the odds are stacked against you. I really do. Okay. I think this case and Tucker's case, not so much, because they had seen him play and liked him, and that was the reason why they drafted him. Some MLS clubs do a great job of scouting college, and others just don't. You know, others, right, they could almost care less. They feel like they're gonna have four or five guys in the same position who are younger than the player coming out of college at 21, 22 years old, and you have a 16, 17, 18 year old in your academy. I mean, for a while, do you guys remember? I don't know if you remember this, if you follow that closely, but Philadelphia, the Union, a few years ago, gave away all their draft picks. They didn't even use them.
Traded them away for like $50,000 in.
It was literally TAM. I think the league actually might have changed the rules after that.
They're like, wait a minute. You have to use them.
It doesn't look good, right?
New rule.
New rule, you must use your draft picks.
It was like 10 minutes later. I was out there at the draft. I was like,
breaking.
It was nuts.
It's going to end bad.
It was crazy. But I think, honestly, I understand where they're coming from, right? Look at how many players Philly's produced in their system coming through the academy. They're saying, why are we gonna, you know, be concerned with a guy that's 21 or 22 coming out of college when we probably have, again, a 15, 16, 17 year old that we'd rather give those minutes to and give a contract to potentially. So,
and they're spending money to raise those kids and develop those kids too, right? It does make sense for sure.
As a business, that's the way they're running their business, and they're doing a great job of it, right? Building guys up and then selling them over to Europe. So anyway, you know, look, I do think the odds are stacked against you. There still is a place for the college player, absolutely. But it's just clearly different than what it was. And I think that, yeah, you need to prove yourself in preseason, because most of those guys, almost all of them, come out, not the GA guys who are, you know, the underclassmen, but most of the guys that come out are not signing before preseason. Right. So they got to go in similar to what you were saying, guards, themselves throughout that preseason and hope. And now there's just so few spots left for those guys. Whereas,
Whereas
back in the day, it was assumed most of the guys that were getting drafted back in our day were signing contracts. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's the opposite.
Essentially free labor, almost free labor.
True. But now it's the opposite. Most of those guys are not even getting contracts. Most of the guys that get drafted.
So what's a Roc Nation Super Bowl party look like? And how many three-piece suits did you take to it in Vegas?
I got a great story. You guys are going to make fun of me and deservedly so. So I'm sorry. I hope this doesn't take too long. But I got to tell you the background of this really quick. So I have two custom suits, right? How often do I wear a suit? Not that often. So I wore one of them to a big event that we had at St. John's back like a few years ago, right before COVID, right? And I send it out to get dry clean. It comes back to my apartment. I'd moved out of my apartment. COVID hits. I'd never go back to the apartment. So I asked my buddy who lived on the street to pick it up for me. I completely forget that he picked it up for me. I'm looking everywhere. I have like a million storage units, unfortunately.
This guy is a poster child for a pod.
I'm all over the place. I don't know where half my clothes are. I can't find this suit. I'm like, I can't believe it. I lost this, you know, it's pretty much a brand new suit. So I'm so bummed. Randomly, a couple months ago, I'm talking to my buddy. His name's Nick Trupalmer. He was our admin for NYTFC. Incredible guy. And he goes, yeah, I was in my closet the other day, saw your suit. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, I have your suit. Remember, I picked it up. I'm like, oh, my God. Guys, it was four years ago.
It was 2020.
The receipt on it, right? It's okay. Okay, so I get it back, and I'm thinking, this is great timing. When Jay-Z has the brunch, I'm going to wear it to the brunch this year, right? So I get it back to Nick. It's sitting in my closet. I'm like all excited. I have to go back out to my parents before I take the flight, which instead of the brunch this year, obviously did the Super Bowl party, right? But I'm so excited to wear this suit. So the day before I get on the flight, the morning of, I go to get on the flight. I'm like, let me make sure like everything's here.
You finally try it on. Yeah. Typical male.
No pants.
No pants.
Just jacket and vest, no pants.
Oh, geez.
I'm guessing that they fell off in my closet in the city. I have no idea, but all I know is I got no pants for this suit. So I had to wear the old suit, which, you know, it is what it is.
Anyway, you look fantastic.
Oh, man. Thanks. It was, thank gosh I didn't get out there, and I don't know what I would have done. I guess
the no pants would have been a splash at the Super Bowl party, too, but maybe a little differently than
reasons.
Did you take any we had Parker on here who was bitching about not being on the Giants sideline. Did you take any new clients to the Super Bowl party?
Unfortunately, I would have loved to, but unfortunately they're all in preseason. So these guys
You
can imagine how that looks with the staff. Hey, you don't mind if I go to this party in Vegas?
You'll never know without an ask, right?
Yeah, so unfortunately my guys weren't able to come with, which I would love. But hopefully at some point we'll be able to work out an event because it is pretty cool. And I know the guys would enjoy it.
Best guy you met? Jay-Z's, he's the headliner, but like you, I saw some good pictures. There are some stars there.
Brady snuck in and out and I didn't get to meet him, which would have been cool. Really would have been cool to meet Tom Brady. Supposedly Leo was coming, but I didn't see him. So I don't think he ended up making it. I'm trying to think of the people.
You saw the videos of him in the box, right?
What was that?
You saw him in the videos of the box, right?
No, who was he with?
I mean, I'm not sure who he was with, but I'm not sure what he was doing either. There's some sketchy videos of him. So he maybe was incapacitated.
Oh, okay.
No. Might not have made it.
might not have made it. May have planned on it, but I'm not sure he made it.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, but there was definitely some big names there. I'm trying to think of Russell Wilson. It's cool to say hi to him. Guys, he's like my height. I can't believe it. I'm like, this guy's NFL, you know, quarterback has been one of the top guys.
I saw him down in Mexico. We were at the same restaurant, sitting literally right next to same table, this outdoor spot.
Think of that? Like, wow, he's kind of not
dude,
that
him big. And Ciara is bigger than he is.
Crazy.
Ciara is taller, and they had his whole family was there. I think I want to say they have four kids, maybe. But yeah, they were just as much of a mess as we were, which was beautiful. I was like, all right, all right. They're just like us.
Yeah. We're basically the same person. I don't know why we don't hang out more.
Yeah, I should have been an NFL quarterback.
But usually when I've met the quarterbacks, I usually I'm stunned by how big they are.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the Mannings, I've run into a couple others at random times, and they're, you know, 6'5", 6'6", they're huge. But that obviously wasn't the case with Russell. So
did you bolster your roster at all this off season?
Yeah. So a big one, we're actually announcing tomorrow. Thanks for asking, Matt Miazga. And MLS obviously went from the toilet bowl to a supporter shield in about a year and a half. And he was, you know, a massive part of that and their run last year. And, obviously, you know, for those who don't know, been a big part of U.S. men's national team throughout the past 7-8 years. And so that's a big one. That's how a big one. I'm really excited. What's that?
How old is he? 26? 28. 28.
The prime of a center back's career. He's entering the prime.
Talked about this.
Not the prime.
Oh my god,
and
that's
he's
good.
He's got a new running mate, right? He's got Miles Robinson next to him. That's gonna be a good duo.
We'll chat about this in the recap.
But that could be my pick, Gordo. Don't try.
Is this
the obvious number one again, Wings?
The obvious number one. Is that the best center back duo in the league? Is there anybody that compares to them? I don't think that there is. For me, maybe the only other argument for me is Philly in Gleznas and Jack Elliott.
The other one that could be a sleeper is Seattle.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Western Conference.
And Reagan is an up and comer. That could be a
And they brought their whole back line back, Seattle.
Yeah.
Arguably best defense in the league. That's pretty good.
How about your boy Omar Gonzalez going down with my guy Nicosi in Dallas? That could be a good. They were a good defense even last year.
They were.
So, Omar gonna start? Omar started in a few years. Could be a good,
What do you like about Nicosi, Wing?
Guys, I'm telling you, this dude he's got everything. There's honestly nothing he doesn't have. I think it's easy for people to take a quick look at him and say, yeah, he's a great athlete. And that's all. And it's couldn't be further from the truth. His feet are phenomenal. He breaks lines with his passes. He can ping a long ball. He's really coming into his own just in terms of leadership. And they've kind of given him that role now. Nico has really given him that role now, which is cool. Luch loved him, Gargs. Our boy Luch loved him. Luch was the first one to give him a chance.
Yeah.
Honestly, he was the first one to give him a chance. And then he went in. He was in January camp with Greg. And it seemed like he honestly had a great camp. He was playing next to Miles most of the camp. Unfortunately, they ended up not getting him into the game. They gave Zawadzki a chance. They moved, you know, Zawadzki sometimes is in the middle and center mid, and they put him back to give him a chance, and they were losing the game, so they didn't sub him in. But we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if he's still a part of it going forward. And honestly, he's 26, so normally you'd say he should be in his prime. I don't think Nicosi's even close to his prime because he didn't really start playing games until 2-3 seasons ago. He just got a late start, and I think he's got another big, big jump in him. And hopefully Nico and Dallas and his surroundings can get that out of him, because the kid has everything in spades for me. It's just a matter of a little bit more experience and time.
All right. Well, let's stay with Dallas, because I do want to touch on it. Is what last week was MLS Jersey Week, the Jersey Launch Week, which Dallas is for me is awful. They're in the bottom of my power rankings. The half purple, half red, can't decide which direction you want to go in. That's an air ball for me. I want to hear from you guys though. Let's start with the bottom three, because I want to hear your most disappointing kits out of everybody. Gordo, who's your number one most disappointing?
Well, I was going to say Dallas.
Shocker. I mean, stealing people's homework. Yeah, okay. Give me another one.
Part maybe since Children's Health is their sponsor, maybe it makes sense. It literally looks like my 4-year-old like came up with this color scheme. Like it's awful, dude. Like it's just broken and it's awful and it's bad, dude.
It's the afterburner kit though. The whole dude, I mean, listen, I got a lot of love for marketing teams and for coming up with narratives and trying to weave storylines into some of this stuff, but it seems like it's almost reached its point of expiration in terms of trying to name everything. Like, why can't it just be the 2024 kit? Why does it have to be a name that explains everything and this stitch symbolizes the ripple in the ocean that you see at 5:03 a.m. when the color bounces off of the crest of the wave? It's just, it's, I don't know. I feel like it's gotten too much. Wing, what's your number one on the bottom? Worst kit.
I feel like I got to give a different answer. I don't know if it was, I didn't see all of them. So I don't know if this was, I wouldn't say this was, I didn't hate it, but I definitely didn't like it. And, you know, of course, and I understand this, every club is going to come out and try to be like, our new kid, it looks awesome. Mm-hmm. Of course, what else are you supposed to do? Mm-hmm. But I didn't love RSLs.
I thought you might say this as a former RSL guy. And for me, I had all of these jerseys, I think, do kind of evoke a strong reaction. But that one for me was like, man, I hate it. And then I was like, actually, maybe it's one of the most iconic. And now I'm kind of on the like, this is an iconic jersey that will stand the test of time. Kind of like the USA 94 kit. I feel like this one is going to stand out for Salt Lake people for a very long time.
But hold on, does the 94 kit stand out for a good reason or a big reason?
For me, I'd rock the 94 kit now. I hated it when it first came out. I was like, what the hell is this? But now I love it.
Yeah. Kind of because of what you're saying, I guess, because it has that like,
it's got a nostalgic, like actual feel. Like you feel something as soon as you see it. Like, oh, my 5-year-old made that jersey and it's super cool. And it's super cool. Like they came up with it. But I actually, like, it hasn't taken a long time for me to get to the other side of the mountain. See what I did there? And enjoy it. And that's where I'm at. I enjoy it.
Hopefully hopefully it grows on me. I just first look, I was kind of like, tend to like something that's just a little cleaner and like simple.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. Our favorite jerseys that we would have worn were just like the all whites or
White kit is tough to beat.
Like, nothing too crazy. So that part threw me a little bit.
I mean, listen, the Timbers is not far off, dude.
I'm giving a double thumbs down to the Timbers.
That's what I'm saying. It's not far off of being the worst. It looks like a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
It looks like it's got palm trees in it. Like, what are we doing?
I also feel like the Timbers are...
Yeah.
Dude, the Timbers are so, for the most part, progressive. And I feel like they just did this exact same thing with the flowers or whatever their last kit was. It was like the same feel, like the burgundy feel or the mahogany, whatever. What was their last one? I don't know. It had like the red flower. It was flowers. I think it was flowers. I don't know, but it had that cream in it, right?
I'm trying
to remember.
Remember it.
It was almost identical to this, except for it wasn't green. It was like their maroonish red. And it had Rose City. That's what it was. It was the Rose City. And it had like the roses kind of in and around it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels kind of done already. Boring.
It's off, dude. It looks like a real bad freaking
off. I really dislike Atlanta's as well, which I Atlanta's is boring. It's got a rooster on the front of it, which I know it's not a rooster. I get that. Phoenix emerging from the flames, and here's the story. But it's nah.
Yeah.
It looks like, I think it kind of looks like a fast food chain's like uniform.
Yeah. The one that's kind of like RSL is the Red Bull jersey.
I like Red Bull. Red dope. Bull's at the top of the list for me.
Yeah. It's kind of dope. Like I like it a lot.
It's got the black, I think, sets it off. They've been so consistent with their red kit, like whatever that, you know, it's been kind of we are Red Bull and they scream it at you, but this feels different.
You know, are we talking about good ones yet? I mean, I kind of
Let's talk. Yeah, let's transition to good ones.
You know what I like, dude? You know what I like? I like the Starry Night, Minnesota. I love the Starry Night.
Really?
I do. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I feel like I got to pull a couple of these up. I don't think I saw the Minnesota one yet. I personally, I sound like a homer on this one, although I did admit I didn't like Salt Lakes, but I actually really like New York City's black one. Did you see what they
Yeah, colored? I like the black one.
How they split the colors?
On the shoulders, right?
I think that was cool. And I guess
actually that's something I was thinking of.
That
one's a little bit boring for me. I'm going to give you...
Yeah, it is simple. What about Seattle's?
Seattle, I didn't see that one.
Seattle's is nice. Seattle's is a jersey that I wouldn't want to wear in a game. Seattle's is a jersey that I would wear as a fan to the match. Their whole kit with the green and then the blue light blue shorts and the light blue socks, it looks pretty soft to me, like for a uniform.
It's just a little too close to, because you got Austin now, and it looks like kind of Austin-y. You know
Austin,
what I mean?
That was another air ball. Their jersey is poor. It's just got like big green blocks on it.
Oh,
I wasn't a fan of that one either.
I like LAFC's, dude. They're adding some pinstripes to that.
Okay. See, now here, this is good because I thought that was a huge air ball as well.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't. Doesn't do much for me. And they have a tough color palette to work with, right? They have black and gold, and that's it. And so you got to kind of, you know, you stay in somewhat of strict confines there, but. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the pinstripes.
Dude, Cincinnati.
In general, they've done nothing but hit home runs with their branding. They've been unbelievable.
LAFC.
Walking out here, I mean, you never see, you see LAFC stuff all the time. And like most cities, this isn't a knock on the Galaxy. You just don't see much of the Galaxy or other, right? But you do see a lot of LAFC gear, like the hats and stuff.
Yeah.
Black and gold is pretty iconic. It is pretty easy to, I think, put on just about anybody. And it seems like it has translated well for them. Certainly in the city of Los Angeles, the Galaxy's got some work to do, man. We've covered that. How was your conversation with them? Just curious in terms of like what they're, you know, how they felt, how they feel heading into the season.
The Galaxy, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry guys, we got some construction going on here. I hope that's not too loud.
You're good. It's not coming through. You're fine.
Yes. Good. You know, I just talked to Will Koontz and even him, right, running the show over there, from LAFC is interesting, right? And our guy Jovan, not being there anymore, Garg. So
there's a big change. That is a big change.
That's where I was going with it. Is obviously yet to be determined, but I will say that I think there's a feeling of excitement that they have another chance to kind of right this ship, and with still some really good pieces, right? Pooj is clearly shown he can be one of the top guys in the league, and if they surround him with some of the right guys, the guy Peck from Brazil is going to be really interesting. That's an interesting one who I think.
Striker?
You want that?
Striker?
Yeah, he's like a winger, I would say. But an attacker. And
so is he replacing Boyd?
Yes.
I think that's a thought process behind it. Is that he'd be replacing Boyd, which I was a little surprised. I heard you talking about that too on the Walker podcast. I thought that was a good point.
Yeah, we didn't put that in your Monday morning quarterback notes that we'll get into here, but just for the listeners, I think it's a good time to talk about this.
Yeah, please do.
Winger is our number one fan. He is a friend of the pod, and he's almost like family. But every Monday morning after we release the podcast, Winger gives us about a 3-paragraph breakdown of things that I've said wrong, topics of discussion that we didn't bring up and we should have, and he just kind of breaks it down. So what I would like to see is a little taste of his own medicine. Let's get some breakdowns of Winger's points today in today's podcast. Please submit them to us. And just point out all the things that if you have about 20 minutes to think it over, you can clearly come up with a better answer instead of just
five. Take it easy. I mean, I'm far too gentle for this. I only like hating on others. I can't accept any hate.
Dude, Wingert's commentary in our text. Dax reminded me of Billy Madison. We are all now dumber from having listened to that response. Gargs, so confused, rendered speechless. I feel like this is the kind of comments I used to get in high school after I would put my English papers out there. It'd be like, what is going on? But it is pretty easy, isn't it?
I'm siding with you on that one. I mean, come on.
No, I know you are.
You guys gave him two choices. He went on a rant for 20 minutes and then picked a
Mason
third
toy. What? What are you doing?
let's kill Dax for a minute. What is he doing, dude?
I love it. I love it.
Dax, he's going to look great in red, by the way, with that red hair.
I'm ready for this, man. I'm ready. Another change. I was just getting used to him being in Nashville and the guy is obviously a staple wherever he goes, right? So he's, you know, a young stud coming through with some of Dallas's best ever teams. Then he goes to Red Bull and he's the man, best 11 captain, blah, blah, blah. Then he ends up in Chicago and obviously Nashville. And it's like the beginning of their tenure in MLS. And of course he's one of the main guys. I wasn't ready for him to go over to Atlanta yet, but maybe he could be like Larenowitz was. What do you think, Gargs? Like, you know,
he's got big shoes to fill if he's going to fill Larenowitz's shoes in Atlanta. Larenowitz was a stud there. I think Dax, not in the same points in their career. I mean, maybe, you know, somewhat similar, but they do both have red hair, which, you know,
positionally, same position.
Yep.
Just bringing a little something to that, to the club, right. Of like that stability guy who's been there, done it all in the league, knows different environments, helps build the culture. I think to your point, that's probably not even going to ask him to have to play as large of a role as L did.
But yeah, but here's the other thing, right, Wing? Like, you know this. Here's the reality. Dax is going to go in there and he's going to work his tits off. And he's going to be the reliable piece that Pineda knows that he can shove into the six and get a workmanlike performance out. And this season is long, man. And these grinds are real. And I think that those types of players are extremely valuable. I wouldn't be shocked to see Dax play 25 games for Atlanta this year.
That's what happens, right? Go ahead, Gar.
Can I just quit this really quick? I'm so sick and tired of giving number sixes all the credit when they have freaking Al Marone and freaking Martinez, and Dax is going to have this guy Almada and like all this stuff, and they just sit there in the hole and we're giving them all this credit. Yeah, Larenowitz was so awesome because he sat in the hole and just had those guys score all the time. And then the defenders, the backs were running, chasing everybody down. These guys just sit there and look pretty, dude. Get the ball on a little half turn, pass it to Almada. Ah! You know, like, what are you doing, dude? Can we stop this?
We're the only ones that were giving Larenowitz any credit.
That's true.
Nobody was giving him any credit, including the budget. My goodness, this guy was on one of the best teams in the history of the league and was, you know, probably making pennies compared to those guys. So somebody's got to give him a little love.
I digress. You're right. Dude. We got to give Larenowitz love. I love that guy.
But to your point, Gargs, it's so true. It's like they bring guys in like this, and we've seen it with all these guys, and they tend to be, it seems like they tend to be the six, Gordo. But it's like with Beckerman, with these guys, they bring them down. They drop their salary and they say, you know, you're only going to play once.
Yeah, you're replaceable. Blah blah blah.
And then they end up playing 25 games. And it's like, wait a minute, I ended up winning the spot and being the same place, you know, that it was last year. And yeah, so it's a little cheeky way for the.
And you ultimately like they. I lived it and you don't get rewarded, which is the unfortunate part. Like, you know, similar to what Dax just went through in Nashville, Dax just played 30 games in Nashville and they said, you know what? We're going to bring in somebody else. Thanks, man. Whether or not it works out, you have a guy that's dependable, reliable, and serviceable at a bare minimum. Right. And for me, we talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago, just in terms of, why isn't that valued? There's still such an emphasis placed on this new shiny toy idea that has to get younger and it has to be a new face and it has to be a new jersey. Whereas, like, I feel like these teams, continuity is king, and consistency and reliability is what continues to win championships. And it seems to get thrown out the window more often than it needs to. Atlanta wasn't in the top three. They didn't finish in the top three. They didn't finish in the top five in the Eastern Conference. They definitely had a down year, especially with the amount of money that they spent. You mentioned Almada, Giorgio Giakoumakis, who is expected to score a boatload of goals. Is a good segue. Are they Atlanta for you, Wingert? Are they in your top three in the Eastern Conference this year?
They're not, and I'll tell you why. Is to me, there's still too much unknown. I think let's see what happens with the back half of their team. I just especially a guy like Miles, who's just been a staple for them. I think is going to have an effect on the team. And yeah, I will say, I do think Giakoumakis, if I'm pronouncing his name right, probably not, came on like wildfire, right? And scored a ton of goals. So for him to have a full season, probably be fantastic. But also, will any of us be surprised if Almada leaves in the summer, right? I mean, that could happen. That could happen at any time. So I just think there's a little bit, there's too much unknown for me. And right off the bat, I would certainly be putting Columbus and Cincinnati as two of the top three without even having to think twice. So that leaves one spot open. So if I had to say yes or no, I'm saying no on Atlanta.
Gordo, we live in crazy times right now. What are things looking like in the real estate market?
Oh, Dax, you know that rates are always going to be the best with Synergy One Lending. And those are always going to fluctuate. But one thing that never fluctuates, that's the service you get with Erin from Bikes Realty Group. She is the number one agent I will refer all my clients to. She handles all the obstacles up front, really takes the stress out of any transaction and move that you have. Check out my girl, Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group at majorleague-realestate.com.
All right, so Phil, you're third. You got Columbus and Cincinnati. Who's in the top three?
Let me think. I got to think through it really
How's
quick.
Philly going to be?
I think Philly's going to be right in and around it. Like, it feels like they are every year, right?
Okay.
They you got ended New York up- City. You got Inter Miami. You got D.C.
I don't think Miami is gonna explode and dominate like maybe a lot of people thought they were, especially
that's counter to conventional wisdom these days.
But what you're saying is they're more built for trophies than for regular season success.
No, I was gonna say I probably think they would be my third, but I don't think they're gonna blow it out. I mean, look, let's be honest, when they came in and it was Leagues Cup, they looked unbeatable. And they were destroying some teams that were pretty good, Philly included, right? Yep. Like mopping the floor with them at their home field. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to last, or at least I shouldn't say it's not going to last. I don't think it will be consistent enough to like, I don't think they're going to come in and like easily win Supporters Shield. But I do think that they'll be, I do think they'll be towards the top. So I would say, I would probably take them as my third team and Philly right on the cusp. That would probably
Gordo, you got the same top three?
No, I think that was a good, intelligent answer from our buddy here, Wings. I think there is a lot of unknowns, but I will say this. I'm gonna put Atlanta in the top three. Here's why. I'm gonna put him in the top three because if this guy, Giakoumakis or whatever his name is, if he has the season that everybody's predicting him to be. I'm a big fan of having a striker that's going to
focal point.
Yeah, who's going to light up the league? Yep. You're going to win a lot of games, and so I'll put him up there. I don't know, and just having Dax, he said that they were replacing Miles because that's a question mark for me in the back.
Yep.
He said they were doing a good job. I forget who he said that they were getting to replace him, but he seems to be pretty confident that they're going to be okay in the back. And if you're okay in the back and you got a guy like Almada, yeah, he could be traded. But if you got a guy lighting it up like that, I'll put him in the top three for sure. You got to give Columbus their respect because, I mean, they are good and they proved that they can do it. So I got them back in. The system's going to stay the same. They re-signed Nagby, our buddy, and they got all the same parts. So who's not to say about that? And then obviously Cincinnati, You know, adding Miles Robinson next to your boy is going to be pretty tough. I mean, if they stay healthy, I mean, that's for everybody, right? And I wouldn't, that's the only reason I wouldn't put up Miami in there is I have questions about them. I mean, they are heavily weighted on four players, and those four players are pretty old. And so to have the longevity of a season, you know, it's going to be tough, you know? And so that's the only reason I think that they're about four. I think they're more built for trophies than for the supporter shield, right? Because to your point, I think they're going to go in and out a little bit. You know, they may take some days off, you know, whatever. So, I mean, that's
my neither opinion. Neither one of you mentioned Orlando. You think that they have, you don't like either of them? Here's the one. I'm a little concerned about Cincinnati being in the top three. I think that they lost some significant pieces. And I do think that on paper, Miazga, Miles Robinson, you couldn't ask for a better center back duo on paper. But what does that look like on the field? You know, I think that you're still, you got Miles Robinson who's motivated, right? He's coming back off probably his worst year as a pro, coming back a year removed from a major injury. So you probably have him motivated. I think Miazga's been the captain there, right? From time to time. So you got him. That's two alphas next to each other. Does it work? You know, I don't know. You have Barrial who ultimately stayed, but he's going to leave. So they're going to have to figure out a left back position probably in the middle of the year. What type of production do you get out of him while he's ready to go? He thought he was going. You lose Vasquez. Is Bupenza the guy? I don't know. I'm not sold on Bupenza. I think that he's been good, but is he guaranteed? He's got the off-field stuff that he had back in, I think it's Ghana. He's Ghanaian, right? I want to say Ghanaian.
He's actually like, no, he's from, what country is it? It's like, no, yeah, it's a...
Maybe he's not Ghanaian. Either way, I know he had some issues off the field that he was dealing with back at home. He also hasn't been the guy and hasn't been the guy in MLS. So to what you just said, Gordo, like this will be his first year being the focal point of an attack that has to be significant. They got, what else did they add? They added Corey Baird. They still have Lucho Acosta, obviously, right? So that's a big one.
Same season, or not? Same.
Just got a new contract, so he better have a better season.
I think it can work the other way, right?
Oh, yeah. For sure. I'm just saying, like that's what Cincinnati's expecting, right? Like you give him money, better produce.
And does he take his foot off the gas now? We'll see.
A lot of players do.
Yeah. So Orlando, man, I feel like I would throw them in there. You're also asking a lot. I think there hasn't been a repeat cup champion since the Galaxy 2011, 2012. So for the Crew to do it back-to-back years, I like the Crew. I do. I think that they're good. Nancy, I think, is probably keeps that group motivated, but they have more competitions. They got more games. Same with Cincinnati. They didn't really have to deal with that stuff. You got a lot of games. And here's the other thing with Cincinnati. I didn't believe in their depth. I think that they had some real issues with depth, which we saw in the playoffs, right? Like Pat looked down his bench and was like, shit, what do I do? And I don't know if they've really addressed that enough to be long-term competitive this year. I don't know.
So who do you have? So who do you have in there with all those things being said, good arguments, but who would you slide in? I mean, you're all say Philly because you always say Philly. Such a homer. So we'll just put that one in there. Who's your other two teams?
I think it's going to look a little different. I think Orlando is going to be in the top three. I don't see them winning the Eastern Conference, but I do see them being competitive because of the chip on their shoulder. And I like Pareja as a coach. I think he's going to have them fired up. He just signed a new contract, so he's engaged or re-engaged. I think Columbus is...
Duncan will probably leave, you would think, right? Because it looked like he was going to, and then he did it.
Looks like it's going to, so he didn't get the move that he wants, so he's still going to be...
I think, you know, most likely,
I'll put Columbus in there. I think Columbus finishes in the top three. And then I think it's a dogfight. I think all the teams that you mentioned, I don't think Miami's going to be consistent enough. Messi's going to be gone a lot. And that's a completely different team with and without him. They're obviously going to win a ton of games. But I think you're right. I think that they're going to be focused on more getting into competitions and winning the competition. And if they can keep those guys healthy, then great. Who knows what the hell Luis Suarez is going to look like? I'm excited to see him. But
you guys watched it all?
No, haven't watched it at all.
For me, maybe he's just not pushing it yet, but he looks slow, man. I was slow. Like, watched two games. And again, small sample size, like
right.
for a few minutes. But this is not the same guy. Like Suarez was, and by the way, it's not to say, I'm sure he didn't lose his finishing touch, right? You get him around the goal, he's gonna bank some goals. That's how. But like, this was a guy who, do we remember?
Suarez? Dude, I played against him. He was insane how good he was.
Guy's work ethic was unparalleled for a forward. I mean, think of how he would chase and run and oh my gosh, I just don't. Again, we'll see. I don't know if he has that anymore. And can he still be a top MLS striker having lost 10-15%? Sure. But I don't know if it's going to be that. I don't think he's got that explosion. And again,
but he might, you know, to be fair, he might not need it. He's got Campana potentially partnered with him. He's got Taylor, who I really like on the outside wing. And he's also got Gressel putting in good service. Like Gressel's been arguably one of the most consistent services from out wide for the past, 5-6 years. So you got that. So you got some pieces, but here's another one I'm going to throw to you. I think New England, I'd squeak New England into the top three. And what, you know, they, you get rid of the mess, right? And you have not a clean slate, 'cause you have Carlos Hill. But you also, you know, you have a fresh start and they were good enough. Where'd they finish last year?
Well, they ended up finishing, I think, 5, but they were really top 2 or 3 the whole season until all that went down. And
top 2 and 3 the whole season. Right. And now you deal with that and then you bring in Porter. And I mean, Porter's had success everywhere he's been. So
he wins.
We'll see.
Before Nagby's on New England. He grabs him everywhere he goes, doesn't he?
No, he's from Ohio. He's a Columbus boy. He'll retire there, dude. He's right. Not going anywhere. All right, give me the West.
He went to the West. Because of Caleb.
It's true. It is true.
That's his daddy.
Yeah, but I don't know. Nagby's a grown-ass man now, dog. He ain't going anywhere.
Well, West, and here's what I think is going to happen. And Gordo, you kind of alluded to this. It's going to be the same 08-09 thing with Columbus. So they won the championship. Now they're going to come back. They're going to win Supporter Shield, but they're going to lose. I think because guys, remember they had a great end of everything, but they weren't. Mm.
It took them a while to figure it out. They did not figure it out. So they'll come out fast.
They're going to ride that wave, but I think in the end, all these games, everything else will catch up to them. I don't think that they'll win MLS Cup again, but I could see them winning Supporters Shield.
All right, Gordo, I'm giving you first crack at Western Conference.
All right, here it comes.
I think it's tougher. Western Conference is going to be tougher in my mind.
It's tougher to pick who's going to come out of the.
Yeah, like I think they're all kind of jammed together.
I think the East is stacked, so it's a little bit. There's some teams that are some major contenders. I think there's going to be a ton of movement in the Western Conference. A ton. So
yeah,
here's my surprise, dude. I think that the Galaxy sorted out, and I think they get top three.
Wow.
Seattle's
what,
obviously.
What gives you? Hold on. You can't just drop that and not explain yourself. What gives you the confidence that the Galaxy are going to sort this jump out and be in the top three?
It's more of a hunch than you know.
Okay.
All the numbers like you like to do.
The old I know it when I see it type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that Costa was a major distraction. You get him off the field. He didn't provide enough for me with them. Puj is going to have a fantastic season. He showed me last year that he's the real deal, as Wing said earlier. You know, you got this guy coming in. We'll see. I just think they're putting some pieces together. A lot of moves. So a lot of new parts. But I think that Vanny's going to get them together. They're going to be motivated. and they're going to have a strong season. I mean, that's it's really it's not a compelling argument. It's more of a gut feeling that mm-hmm. they have to do it. Like they have to have a strong season. Vanny knows that. Vanny knows mm-hmm. that if he doesn't make waves this season, he's probably out. You know,
they do have. I mean, they do have a luxury of scheduling in terms of they don't have to compete in some of these competitions that typically the Galaxy compete in every single year that some of these other clubs are now competing in.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just my gut. I mean, I could go with a few different teams, but I need to cause some kind of ruckus because I'm going to go with, yeah, I'm going to go to Seattle. You know, I'm going with Seattle. They're strong. You know, they're even they get better every year. I'm sick of
safety pick.
And so I do that. Is St. Louis in the Western Conference or Eastern Conference?
They won the Western Conference last year. Yes.
Hey, dude, that's both of your guys' teams, dude. I'm not picking them for sure. Because that's going to be an obvious. I like Houston, man. I like Houston.
Yeah.
But LAFC. So I'm going to go LAFC, Seattle, and Galaxy, which is...
Two LA clubs and Seattle in the top three.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would pick Houston. I really liked Houston in their run, and I liked them through the playoffs. The back half of the year, I think they were super strong. Do they have everybody coming back? I haven't seen their roster moves, but they were playing.
LAFC?
No, Houston.
Houston. Houston just signed Coco to a new deal, which is, I mean, he's their best player. I think that they lost Corey Baird. He went to Cincy. He was a pretty significant piece of what they did. I don't know if I've seen a ton of moves out of them, Wing.
No, and I haven't either, but I was thinking that aside from Eche in the middle, I think that they're pretty young in a lot of places on the wings and those guys. So for me, they could be a team that could continue to get better. I don't
love their attack though, man. I still struggle falling in love with anybody that they have. I'm not a big fan of Amin Bassi in the position that he plays. I feel like he's more of a luxury 10 that kind of should be floating in some of these pockets, maybe out wide or kind of in those channels. But I don't know. I still think they're going to struggle to score goals.
Yeah, I could see that. And I don't know if they've, Corey Baird wasn't scoring a ton, but he can score, and I don't know if they've replaced.
I'm actually going to see him tonight. I'm going to the St. Louis City Houston game tonight, so it'll be their. It's not their MLS season opener; it's their Champions League, I think, CONCACAF opener.
Sir, we got to get this lingo right. I've been calling.
I know.
Come on, we're finally getting to understand what it means over here, and then you're going to change the name. Killing them.
All right. So you got two LA clubs in Seattle. Wing, what do you got?
All right. Here's my sleeper pick, FC Dallas. And I'll tell you why. Because they had a great defense last year. They were, I think, third best in the league for goals against. I hope that I'm wrong, and I hope that he's a big part of it. I don't know that Omar is still up for playing a big part, but I think he'll be still good for the club and for the team. Be a great teammate for them.
He's playing in his hometown. I think that changes, you know, you can speak to that, Wing. That changes your approach. It's probably a good motivator for him at his point in his career.
And I think that I really do think he'll be a great part of that team. They have great goalkeeping. I love the left back, Farfan. I think he's one of the best in the league. I look at their team. They were riddled with injuries last year, and those guys, again, always a question mark if those guys are going to be healthy. But if they are, and they just spend huge money on the center forward coming over from Portugal, if this guy can even be, you know, in the top 10 center forwards in the league, I think they paid close to $10 million for him. If he can even be close with Jesus Ferreira and the rest of their attack, Pomic will hopefully be healthy. Who's my guy, short winger from the national team? My gosh. So it used to be DC. And then played him. No?
DC guy, right?
Yeah, I'm so bad with names. Oh, come on. Got like last guy to get left off the World Cup team.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He's buddies with LeJet. They're like in a bromance. What the hell's his name?
Yeah.
Legit. He's still there, right?
Yeah.
These guys are all like really solid players. And again, if this new number nine can be legit to add to their already really good defense, I think that they're gonna surprise everybody this year. So they're my sleeper pick. I'll take Houston as well. So
Areola.
Areola. Thank you.
Yep.
And I actually am a huge fan of his. So it sounds disrespectful not to remember his name because I'm a big fan of him. I think he's
it happens.
I think he's
Gordo doesn't remember anybody's name, and he's a big fan of a lot of people. So don't take it personally.
Norm Wingert's son, Gargs. You know, it's like I'm just surrounded by these guys. Can't remember anybody's name.
Gargs, who are we having on again? Wingert, what's his first name?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, pal. Hey, glad to see you.
Yeah. Hey, guy. No.
All right, fan. So you got Dallas.
Dallas, Houston is my second team.
Texas team's not going to say anything about that, George?
What's that?
Two Texas teams? Not gonna say about that?
I mean, are they like 1,000 miles apart? Texas is the size of the Pacific Ocean. So, right. It is what it is.
Drum roll for St. Louis, the St. Louis top three. Here we go.
Not St. Louis. I think they'll I still think they'll be solid and be a playoff team, but I don't think they'll win it this year or be in the top three. The third team I'll take is LAFC. I still think that they're a little too good all over to not be in the top three. And Seattle would be the other team that I would put in there, but just a boring pick. So I'm going with
you're going with LAFC, the other title contender?
Slightly, yeah, true. But I was only going to pick one of them, is what I'm saying. So Dallas and Houston.
How do you guys feel about what they did with their goalkeeper? They're bringing in Hugo Lloris and sending out Maxime Crepeau, who's arguably the best goalkeeper in the league.
Wasn't a big fan of that. I was really surprised. I'm like,
you don't like him, Gordo?
The guy that broke his leg, right?
Yeah.
Not I didn't a fan. Know much about like from the eye test. In my opinion, I didn't know what not that I thought he was bad. I didn't think he was a world beater.
Okay, what do you think about Lloris coming in?
I don't know.
I'm obviously not a first team architect, but I would not be spending or placing emphasis on aging goalkeepers or designated players in the goalkeeper position.
No.
Agreed. The only thing is Gargs, because that was my first reaction, but it really looks like they didn't spend hardly anything. So I was like, why would you do that? You have a younger guy who's been a stud, has shown signs of being the best goalie in the league, et cetera. I was really down on it at first, slightly less down. I still don't love the move, but I slightly less down on it because of what it looked like they spent on him, which was practically nothing.
Yeah. Just because it's free.
I don't know. I don't love.
I'm saying you're okay with it essentially because it's free. Not free, but because it doesn't cost you a lot.
Really, I was really down on it before, and now I'm
less down on it.
Less down on it because they didn't spend.
I wouldn't say I would have done it, but less down on it, and I can understand.
But I mean, history does not speak well for aging goalkeepers in the MLS that come over from Europe. I mean, Tim Howard was probably the best of them all. Came over, but he was big money. I think he was a good keeper in the league. Like he did well, but to spend that money on him is questionable for sure with the cap size. But you think of like all the other guys that have come in from Europe that have had huge careers. I mean, didn't the Galaxy have one of those? I mean, there's been several of them, you know, not great. Mm-hmm.
How old is Berkey, Sharks?
I want to say he's 36, 37.
And that worked out really well.
That worked out. How about him? Do you feel it? Does he go back on? Does he win again? Goalkeeper of the year? Well, let me look up his age.
No, because
how old do you think he is?
I would have said a little younger than you. I'm 34.
33.
Okay. That's pretty young.
Who are we talking about?
Berkey, St. Louis's keeper.
Was he not just like in the mix at Dortmund and what? Or what?
He was. Like, he was. I mean, he was started there for a bit, and then I don't know what happened, but that changes my picture of him. I didn't think he was that young. 33 is young.
Yeah,
especially for a keeper with that experience, with that performance that he had last year, the way that they play, you need to be shot stopper for sure. Okay. So you got, who do you got, Wing?
So LAFC,
yeah. FC Dallas, and Houston. Yeah, that's not bad.
Close us out, Gargs. Give us. Some.
I got Seattle. I think Seattle. Seattle. It actually kind of remind me of older teams. Like they got a strong back line. They're going to be tough to play against. Obviously in Seattle, they're going to be tough to break down. They're good.
They got this new player that they don't know where they're going to play.
Yeah. De La Vega, right?
This is the one aspect that I thought you were going to say, which is surround some solid American guys.
That's right.
Well, they still have Roldan. They have Jordan Morris. Yeah, and now they bring in what they are calling an upgrade to Ladero, right? A younger, newer version of Ladero. So I thought that the comments from Schmetzer, we talked about this, were a little odd. Like, I don't know how I'm going to use him. I don't know what type of player he is. I don't know where I'm going to put him on the field. I don't know what his best position is. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just conjecture and throwing that out there for people to kind of chew on and other coaches to think about. But I also just found it kind of weird for them to make that signing and for him to, it sounded like there was some, you know, disconnect between the front office and the coaching staff, but I guess we'll see. Seattle's won. I don't know, man. I go back and forth on St. Louis. They didn't finish in a way that made me feel great about them heading into this year. Like, and which is the questions that we continually asked about them. Like, when are they going to run out of gas? And they went a lot further and were a lot more consistent than I had originally thought. But I don't know. I don't know if they're, you know, what does that shelf life look like? So I might keep them out of the top three this year because there's the new factors not there. It's not going to be a surprise. People have seen it. I think they'll still be good. I think they made some upgrades defensively, which I think was their, you know, one of their Achilles heel. I think that their midfield creation could still use some help. I really like Leuven and I really like Klaus, but I think Leuven could use some support in the middle of the park. So they're probably on the outside looking in for me. Houston, I like Houston. I think that they're going to build, but I, you know, they have questions as well. It goes back to what you were saying, Gordo. I think that there's a lot of teams that are kind of marginally better than average for me, and I don't know if any of them really stand out. So I think my surprise pick, which I don't know enough about, but will be Vancouver. And I know that a lot of people really liked them last year, and maybe they build on it. So, you know, they're going to fly under the radar. It's tough to go to Vancouver and get results. They have, who's the kid that they like? They're 10. That's got a, he's got a year under his belt, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Those are my three.
Who have they added? Do we know what their off season looked like?
No, not intelligently enough. No.
They do, like you're saying, they do go under the radar. I'm literally like, I don't know if I've heard one thing
about their. I do like their new crest on their uniform. We didn't talk about that for the kits. I did like that one. Whatever they put out there, it's kind of like a retro piece. Biggest surprise, positively or negative, out of the Western Conference for you guys for this year. So whether that's St. Louis dropping to eighth or the Galaxy moving to first, like Gordo, that's probably Gordo's. I think that I don't need your input there. Winger, no. You got anybody that sticks out?
Obviously, I said my piece about Dallas. I think that would be pretty surprising to people if they did finish in the top three. And I feel pretty confident they're going to have a good season just from what I was saying. I'm trying to think more of not just about where the team finishes, but like something else that could be surprising in terms of an individual.
How do we feel about the Rapids? Are we buying what they're doing?
I'll believe it when I see it. I just don't think they're going to. And I feel the same with Minnesota. I feel like both places have just been a little bit of like a all over. And like,
yeah,
I got to see some stability before I can believe in
there being. I'm the same. I mean, history is just working against the Rapids in all aspects. You know, they could have Pep come in here. I'd be like, I'm not sure. I think that RSL is going to fall off this year. I think they were punching way above their weight class last season. Pablo did an awesome job, and they just fired his whole coaching staff, right?
Yep.
Without him wanting to do that.
Yeah.
I think you know. So it's like, all right. And then I haven't seen them sign anybody, so I don't think they're going to be able to score goals. They got rid of Chucho, and
no, he's there.
No. Who they? The other guy.
Saverino.
But Chicho's back. They actually just named him captain.
Really?
Musovski. They didn't bring him back, which I actually think is a pretty good signing for Seattle.
And they got that number eight. Who's the old number eight that they let go?
Demir Krylak.
Yeah. Krylak. So they got rid of some.
So that's all season for Vancouver. I shouldn't say that. Obviously, I knew that.
Yeah. I mean, they got rid of some pieces. I think they're going to have a really tough year. I mean, as much as Pablo will get them to grind out some games, but they're going to have a really tough game. But yeah, I mean, Galaxy's got to be my pick. I'm putting them in the top three, which I'm questioning just being on here for 30 minutes. That was a serious reach.
It's a good reach. It's a good reach. All right, last question, and we'll tie this up. Most excited to see. You're going to be able to tune into anybody on week one. Gordo, what game are you tuning into? What club are you tuning into? Who do you want to see play?
My kids are Galaxy fans. They got Galaxy jerseys. I'm a Galaxy fan. I'm watching the Galaxy.
Okay.
You coming down, brother? You know who they're playing on Sunday?
Miami.
Let's go.
Are you going?
Beckham's back.
Bex is back.
Beckham's back. Going to be there.
Oh, are you going to take a picture with him and his statue?
I mean, he doesn't know I exist, I don't think, but I'll try. Actually, I have to tell you guys, this is hilarious, but quickly, before we go. So one of my guards, I don't know if you remember this guy, Justin Raisin. You remember that name at all?
No, I don't. He played
regional team a little bit with us, but anyway.
Justin Raisin?
Mm-mm. Yeah. He was a very good player growing up, but got into music. He's working with Cruz Beckham.
Cruz. No way. Okay.
Yeah, and a singer. And so he's been hanging out nonstop with Bex.
Just gallivanting with the stars out there in Manhattan Beach, huh? You're living a tough life, Chris Wingert.
Yeah. Not me. These guys don't know I exist. But anyway, this is how pathetic the situation is. I gotta call him, who is not in the soccer world anymore, and ask him for tickets. But hopefully it's gonna work out, because this could be a hard ticket to get, that's for sure.
That's gonna be a fun one. Good for them. That'll be a good match. That's a good one. Winger, you got so you're going. Are you going Galaxy Miami game?
It's a plan.
Anybody else who you want to see New York City play? I would assume
for sure New York City, and then to be honest, I'm ready to watch all these games. I got the lineup tonight, back to back, down in Philly, down in Saprissa, Purple Hell.
Tonight.
Philly is down in Saprissa. That is an intense atmosphere. We played them semifinals.
Dude, that's tough to play in Saprissa. Dude, like, yeah.
Shaking like that DC or the RFK. Like, but better.
But better. Did you see Jim? Dude, Jim was in a full three-piece black suit.
He was?
Yeah, dude. With the pandas on. He had the pandas on too. Full three-piece black. It was a different look for Jim. He looked intense. I liked it. I mean, he was there on business, which is a powerful statement. All right, guys. Well, listen.
Wait, tell us who you're looking forward to most. You're going to the game tonight.
I'm going to the game tonight. I don't know if I could pick a club, to be honest. I've been missing soccer, like genuinely missing Major League Soccer, and I'm excited to see what I'm excited to see the league. I miss it. It'll be fun, and there's going to be no shortage of games, which is also going to be some crazy storylines. There's a lot of things happening. So, well, Chris, we appreciate you joining us. Always. Fun insight. I can't wait to you critique yourself in your Monday morning quarterback. That's going to be good. And we will catch the rest of you journeymen out there. Thanks for tuning in.